Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, the start of another week, to worship you. You guided and protected us and blessed us this past week, and for that we give you thanks and we praise you. There's no one like you, God. There's no one who loves us like you do. No one who knows us like you do. No one so good and so strong, so compassionate like you. You bind us one to another, each of us to you, and all of us to each other. Together, you make us your family, marking us with the same spirit. You show us your way, give us your truth, and impart your life to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who we trust. In your name, amen. And so my nephew truly struggled with his character. And I pray every day that he is walking with our Lord and that they've had some wonderful discussions. One's character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to each one of us individually. The way one thinks, the way one feels, the way one behaves. Your character is your mark on this world. I have both heard and read this quote several times. The measure of a person's real character is what that person would do if that person knew that no one was watching, or what you did would never be found out. People of this world do things because they think, oh, no one's not watching. No one will know. I'll just take a $5 bill. I'll just stay out half an hour longer than I should. I'll just tell a story about one neighbor. It'll be okay. Character is who we are because of our relationship with Christ. It is what we are called to be in our daily walk as a Christian. Character gives us credibility. Paul did not write within Thessalonians with a motive of greed or gain. Many religions at that time were sharing for what they could gain from the community, and then they'd pack it in and move on to the next community. Within Thessalonica, there were worshipers of gods of the Olympian Paphlon, Apollo and Hercules. There were Greek religions celebrating Dionysus, and there was a cult that believed drinking was okay. There were Greek intellectual and philosophical traditions at that time, and there were shrines to the Egyptian gods, and there were Jewish people and Gentiles. I was reading Neil's words, a theologian, and he has written that there has probably never been such a variety of religious cults and philosophic systems as in Paul's day. So when he was sharing, he had a lot to think about. What would they be thinking and how would they be handling his words? But he shared consistently. He shared what was pleasing to God. He did try to make the gospel look attractive, but his stories never changed, and the main focus of his stories remained the same. The lesson of God and from God never changed. I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 to 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 to 7. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. I think about our government, right? Trying to please those around you, trying to make deals to get your vote through, it's a government that just doesn't sit right with my thinking, and I truly pray that we do have godly servants in our government. Paul would not speak to earn acceptance of the people that he spoke to. He did not covet praise from the people. He wanted to provide for the needs of the people and for all of those who would be listening to him. His joy came from his relationship with Jesus. That is what he wanted the people to see. He affectionately longed for the people who had become very dear to him. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 12. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. To me, that sounds like it's going to take work, right? I'm going to share God's news, and I'm going to share you about me, about my life. It's going to take work. Verse 9, don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any one of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share his kingdom and glory. That's the gift. You will receive his kingdom and glory. Paul was very much aware that his own behavior needed to demonstrate the integrity of his character before God, not before the different groups that were in front of him. He didn't change his personality to suit his people at work, to suit his people at the card game, to suit his people at church. He demonstrated integrity, the integrity of his character before God. He wanted people to see that the power of Jesus was real in his own life. His life became a life that would draw others to Jesus. How many people in here, I think it might be all of us, can say that and answer yes to this question, does my life draw people closer to Jesus? Not for my personal gain. I don't want you to like me to make me feel good. I want you to like me because you see Jesus in me. Paul continuously gave thanks to God as others who believed in the truth received God's word. He saw God's word as work. He knew he would need to work, but he saw lives changing. The people knew that Paul had brought them God's word, holy words. Those Thessalonians who were among the churches of God became targets of persecution. They leaned into God's word when times became difficult. Paul worked to comfort those who were suffering. In today's world, those who are affected by violence, again, it's my prayer that Christian people step up to love on them, to comfort them. Paul led the people to become more aware that they were living their lives that was pleasing to God, and it made a difference. He explained to the people that they did not have to go to the Jews to become saved as a Gentile. You don't have to get permission from anyone to turn to Jesus. He assured the Christian followers that God would take care of their persecutors. In today's world, it's, watch out, because if you get me, I'm going to get you. Right? Christians forget that they disgrace themselves by returning bullying for bullying towards others. That's not our place. Pray for them and know that God will care for them. Your character will influence how others respond to Christianity. Is it possible for us to grow character? Developing strong character will involve sacrifice, and I'm going to go back to that word, work. It will take work. Perhaps we could begin by noticing the opposite characteristics that we may have habitually added to our traits, like worrying, being unable to forgive, being quick to judge, feeling discouraged, being filled with anxiety. Psalm 28, verses 1 and 2 gives us a prayer that we can turn to when we are feeling discouraged. Psalm 28. I pray to you, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. A prayer that can be said every time you worry. Hold on to grudges. Judge someone else. Call him. Call on him. Ask him for a way to deal with what is going on in your lives. I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary. I'm asking for help. At times, life can truly make us feel alone, and we struggle to understand. Jesus offers us the opportunity to receive freedom from those things that I mentioned earlier. He is our rock. He is our hope. We each received a rock during one of my summers at Camp Meneland to take home and place in our bedrooms. And anytime we looked at that rock that was sitting on our dresser, we were to say, He is our rock. He is our rock. If that's going in, that's what is going to be believed, and that is what is going to come forth from you. Jesus is our rock. Only God is faithful in all circumstances. Your character reflects who you desire to become. Striving for good character means working forward in moral excellence, and moral excellence demonstrates an understanding of what is truly important in love, in honoring, in respecting, in loving God, and in loving others. I'm reading from Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, verses 5 to 9. Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right. He does not feast in the mountains before Israel's idols or worship them. He does not commit adultery or have intercourse with a woman during her menstrual period. He is merciful. He is a merciful creditor, not keeping the items given as security by poor debtors. He does not rob the poor, but instead gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. He grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, is honest and fair when judging others, and faithfully obeys his decrees and regulations. Anyone who does these things is just and will surely live, the sovereign, says the sovereign. Following God's words from the beginning of time, listening to his rules, shining with his love, We each must develop our character as we each develop our life skills. It is developed through experiences and testing. We learn to face daily challenges and to respond wisely. We must practice and take the next right step. Not the right step to make you feel included in that group. I'm with church people, I'm going to respond this way. I'm with bikers, I'm going to respond that way. I'm with my band, I'm going to respond that way. I'm with my neighbors, I can act this way. We need to practice consistency and do the next right thing. Value the characters like honesty, generosity, integrity, mercy, and compassion. Character is developed as one commits to knowing God and His Word. God's Word is a source of truth. It is a source for lasting happiness. When things went wrong, I can remember thinking, give it 2 weeks. Give it 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, what will this situation be like? Will it matter? So many things happen in life and we react and we're anxious and we're calling people and telling them stories about what's going on and we're overwhelmed instead of turning to the Lord and giving Him time. Time to create a calmness in you and time to work out the situation. In 2 weeks, if you're not feeling better, my philosophy, starting in high school, would be then, and maybe within those 2 weeks as well, what you need, go to a third person. Go to a godly person. Go to a person who believes as you do. And seek help. And seek just sometimes voicing it and sharing it helps you to come back to recognizing that God is in control. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today, and then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. Are we tested? At times, testing brings strength. Testing allows you to be able to share your testimony with others, finishing with how God worked in your life. What you value most will be what you work hardest to attain. 1 Peter 4:9 reads, "So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you." He will never fail you. If you need to go out and pick up a rock from your driveway, go ahead and do it and put it on your dresser. He is our rock. He will never fail you. We strive for our character to be formed in the image of Christ. We have a whole book about Him. Read the book. Share the book. Watch Christian movies. Listen to Christian songs. Learn what you can about Him. God has promised all of us the ability to live as Jesus has lived. James suggests calling our worst moments joyful moments. Ooh. Because we will then have the opportunity to lean on God to get us through. We learn, we practice trusting God. James 1:4, "So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Each experience draws us closer into a deeper relationship with God. Growth develops our character as we receive freedom from immorality and deception and sin. Think about my nephew, and he was deceived by his friends, loved by his family, searching and reaching. Give credit to God for every good thing in your lives. Imitate our Lord and Savior in thought, word, and action to demonstrate an understanding of what is truly important in this life, loving God and loving others. A good and faithful heart produces good and faithful deeds. A good and faith-filled heart produces faithful deeds. God's word is the true voice of authority for all times. Let us pray. God of power, love, and wisdom, you've known us and loved us from before we even were, and extended your grace to us before we knew your name. You save us from ourselves, from our arrogance, rebellion, and sin, and from the powers of the world and the evil which seek to ensnare us. We lift up those who fall into the trap of following evil. And we thank you for being with us at all times. You save us. You save us for something new, a new life of holiness. Help us to recognize this holiness and to prepare ourselves for great purpose. For all of this, we thank you and we praise you. It is you whom we trust and you whom we depend upon. In your precious name, amen.